The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The government is consulting with the Attorney General on what legislative changes would have to be made for a ban on XL bully dogs. Speaking in the Shannon yesterday, Minister Heather Humphreys said that work is already underway on examining how an XL bully ban in Ireland would work. No dog breed is banned in Ireland so far. However, there are a number of breeds that are currently restricted. My next guest feels that stricter controls on dog breeds is not going to tackle the rise in dog attacks. She believes the government should be focusing on enforcing regulations that are already in place, and there should be a greater focus on the fact that dogs are dogs and not a member of the family. Dog trainer and behavioural expert Paula Feeney joins me now. Paula, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you so much for having me on.
Now, I presume they've done the research in the UK and there they have banned bully dogs. And if you want to get an exemption, they've got to be neutered, they've got to be castrated or spayed, and you have to have public liability insurance to own one.
Sure, that's right. And right now you can't buy one anywhere. If you have one and you follow the rules, you can keep it, but you can't buy or import any XL bully at the moment. And it's interesting that you say they've done the research, but unfortunately we saw this in the 90s. They banned the pit bull in an effort to stop the increase in dog bites, dog attacks, dog fatalities, and it didn't work. Quite the opposite happens. And now, unfortunately, they're doing the same with the XL bully, hoping that this will work, not learning from the mistakes that happened the last time.
And you don't believe it will work?
No, I don't believe it will work. And I think that the UK is a perfect example of that. We just look here at the number of fatalities that have happened over the last few years. And it's devastating what happened to Nicole Morey and to little Alejandro in Wexford when he was attacked by those XL bullies. But then we look at the likes of three-month-old Mia O'Connell was killed by a Dachshund Terrier cross in her cot. Eight-year-old Glenn Murphy was killed by dogs that are not banned. 64-year-old Teresa McDonough was here in Galway. She was killed by two dogs not on the restricted breed list, and none of these dogs were XL bullies either.
Now, part of the reason why there's a push to ban the XL bully dogs is the sheer size and weight of them. And they often said it about the pit bull, and it's probably true of the XL bully as well, that once they grab your arm or your leg or whatever it is, they simply do not let go. Whereas if, for example, a Jack Russell grabs your arm, you can shake him off, you can give him a whack across the head and he'll drop off. So there is a difference between the potential danger of a large dog versus the potential danger of a small dog.
Of course there is, and I completely agree with you on that, and I can't deny that there is an increase in attacks from XL bullies, from bully type dogs. However, the XL bully is a very vague type of dog rather than a breed that they're trying to put a ban on. And if we look at capability and power, we're looking, Pat, at hundreds of breeds. We're looking at banning the XL bully. And in a couple of years' time, the XL bullies won't be accessible and people are going to start buying bull mastiffs, Dogo Argentinos, Presa Canarios. There's hundreds of breeds out there with these capabilities. And I have no problem with legislation. I have no problem with restrictions, licensing. Quite the opposite. I actually encourage it because I'm not coming at this as a dog lover. I'm coming at this as someone who wants to reduce dog attacks, dog bites, dog fatalities. So I know that banning one breed, all it's going to do is have a knock-on effect like it did in the UK. It's gone from the pit bull to the pit bull type, now to this XL bully type. What's next on the list?
Now, the question of enforcing, I mean, we see these restricted breeds all the time on the streets and, they might be on a lead, they might not. In the public parks, they probably won't be on a lead for some of the time, and they certainly won't be muzzled as they're required to do, whether they're on a lead or not. And there doesn't seem to be very much enforcement.
Sure, and that's one of my biggest issues here is we're not enforcing the current laws that are in place. The microchip laws are lax. The breeding laws, where all of this is coming from, anyone can breed these dogs together. This specific dog wasn't bred with any purpose. It's a mix of everything. So we don't know what we're getting. We know with certain breeds, not for definite what we're getting, but there's a reason golden retrievers are used as autism assistance dogs and they use breeds for certain things. Mm-hmm. But they're not enforcing what's there at the moment. I have no problem if they start enforcing those things, despite the fact we know the restricted breed list doesn't work. Dr. Parker Sulawan released a paper a couple of years ago showing how there's no correlation between restricted breeds and the likelihood of getting bitten by a dog. So if we're not enforcing those, we're not enforcing the breeder. I want to make it difficult for people to get these dogs. I want to see licensing in place. I've always compared it to the fact I would love to drive a motorbike. I'd love it. I've always wanted a motorbike since I was a kid. However, I couldn't be bothered going to do the theory test or all the lessons that come in with it. So I don't own a motorbike. And I think if somebody is thinking of buying their boyfriend a pit bull puppy for Christmas, it should be awkward. It should be expensive. And it should have licensing requirements similar to what they do in Spain. Spain has a much larger population than us. Their dog fatality numbers are way lower than ours. So why are we trying to copy a country like the UK, where these are on the rise, things are getting worse and it's not working, instead of taking a country where they have an effective plan, an effective legislation? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Now, talk to me about what you said there. We don't know what we're getting with the XL Bully, you know, because it's a mongrel, effectively. It's a mixture of bits and pieces. How much do we know about the specific characteristics of various breeds? You know, that if you buy this one, you'll get that. If you buy the other one, you'll get something else.
So it's never guaranteed, and we can talk about nature versus nurture, and this is a conversation we could have that would be hours and hours long.
Yeah.
But the very first thing that we can do is stop people from breeding random dogs together, random mixes of large, capable, strong dogs together that don't have any kind of temperament assessment done. We don't know where their genetics are going. Are they genetically predisposed to attack a person? Are they genetically predisposed to attack a dog? We breed border collies because they're genetically predisposed to herd sheep and they're really good at their job. So that's what we need to look at, is starting from where this is all beginning, not punishing the person that now has the dog, that in a lot of cases is trying very, very hard to rear the best dog that they can have, a very well-behaved dog, and putting time, money, education, effort into it.
Now, for example, if you are living in an urban environment and you have a tiny scrap of a backyard, if you're lucky, or a garden, and you buy, say, a husky, I mean, is that appropriate?
It depends, Pat, to be honest. In the vast majority of cases, I would say no. However, I know plenty of excellent dog owners who, they may not have a back garden, but their dog goes out training. They have access to fields. They have safe places where they can exercise the dog, mentally stimulate the dog. They have all of these wonderful things. And on the contrary, I know people that have plenty of land, loads of space, that are not good dog owners. They're irresponsible dog owners. Their dogs are out rambling the roads. So for me, it's not about the size of the garden. It's what can this owner provide for this dog?
Now, the question of enforcement, I mean, if you have a dog, you're supposed to have a dog license. How often are they checked? I mean, do you get people stopped by a dog warden, show us your license? You're not obliged to carry your license. But in theory, you should have a chip, and the dog warden could just take their little reader out and check the chip. That would be effortless, and it wouldn't cause any hassle.
Absolutely. And I see, obviously, the number of dog wardens is a massive issue that we have. Also, education of dog wardens. I've only heard of two cases where a dog warden has stopped somebody for a restricted breed. In both cases, the dog warden was wrong. So in the first case, the dog wasn't a restricted breed list. The dog warden identified it as a German Shepherd. It was not a German Shepherd. And the owner had to go home and get the papers to prove to the dog warden this is not a German Shepherd. The second case, the owner, a female owner, was walking in the woods at night. She had a four-month-old German Shepherd with her, and the dog warden followed her into the woods. Now, the dogs on the restricted breed list don't have to be muzzled until they're 6 months old. So the dog warden again pulled her up for this, and again was incorrect. So it's fine to have 100 million dog wardens in the country, but the education and getting them to enforce these things is a completely different thing.
Yeah, and the competence of dog wardens. I mean, if, for example, they do come across an XL bully, which is maybe worrying people, maybe its owner is tugging against the lead and can't control the dog. I mean, is the warden trained to deal with that?
in the vast majority of cases, Pat, I would say no. And also identifying the dog in the first place. This is a huge issue. If you go on Google now and type in 12, 15 different type of dogs, they all look the same. They're all short-coated, big dogs with big muscly heads and quite often in pictures, cropped ears. So to be able to identify a dog just by the visual aspect alone is difficult for dog experts, never mind members of the public, members of Garda Síochána, dog wardens who maybe haven't seen a whole lot of this type of dog, is very, very difficult to do.
And then the dog warden thinks, I'm going to get my arm bitten off if I go near this creature.
Sure. Absolutely. So training of wardens is going to be massive. If they are ever going to start enforcing these things, the training and safety of dog wardens is obviously going to come to the forefront. But we look at these dogs, Mia O'Connell, Glenn Murphy, Teresa McDonough, Nicole Morley, none of these people were killed in public by off-lead dogs. They were killed in their homes or in their families' homes.
So therefore, as well as training the wardens to do their jobs properly, dog owners need to be somewhat skilled in reading the signs. You know, when a dog is a bit antsy, when a dog is agitated for whatever reason, maybe being left alone for 12, 15 hours and then wants some sort of action and doesn't get it, the owner's got to recognize, I've got to do something here to lower the temperature. Do people have those skills?
And they don't have the skills at the moment. And a perfect example, on RTÉ News the other night, there was a segment on the polling stations about somebody bringing a dog to the polling station. And there's a clip of an Irish setter barking at the cameraman, and everyone is laughing and everybody thinks it's funny. The dog is clearly uncomfortable. Nobody can read the signs in those. Now, 40% of the victims in this case are under 14. So we need to be starting in schools. We need to be teaching children how do I read the signs in a dog? Then there needs to be a massive public campaign. There's apparently one at the moment that nobody has seen or heard of. I've seen it flash up on my screen once. There has been really effective campaigns for food safety, for road safety. This needs to be shoved down people's throats, and they need to be educated on the signs and symptoms. And also, your dog is capable of doing it. If you're of such size, such power, such strength, or the victim is small, your dog is capable of doing this. Whether it's your baby, whether it's your best friend, my dogs are members of my family, but they are dogs at the end of the day. Yeah. So we need to look at this from an education perspective. And then if this happens, if your dog begins to attack a dog, attack a person, attack you, if you ask people, what are you supposed to do in this case? Nobody knows what to do. And then we need to be able to, if this is happening, how do we minimize the damage that the dog is doing to the person?
All right, Paula, I think we'll have to get you in as our Monday expert one of the weeks, because there's so many questions and comments coming in about what you've been saying. Paula Feeney, dog trainer, behavioural expert, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.